Having spent time discussing what it means to say, I believe, we turn now to talk about the God that we believe in. The Creed asserts that we believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to unpack this God that we believe in. Tonight, we're going to specifically focus on God being Father and Almighty. But before we begin to unpack these two things, I'd like you to read Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 31, and discuss this as a group. What characteristics of God do you see in this passage? This evening, we're moving on to consider what the Creed teaches us about God. And this passage in Isaiah 40 has it all, and we've hit every single one of these points. The Creed talks about God, the Father, the Almighty, and the Creator of heaven and earth. All of these things are just what we've spoken about. And so maybe we could just go home. I mean, that's it. The Creed opens by telling us something about the God we confess. So last week we spoke about what it means to say, I believe. And now the opening words begin to give shape to the one we believe in. It tells us something about this God that we are confessing our allegiance to. It answers the question, who is this God that we believe in? And the Creed describes God in three particular ways. First, as Father. Second, as Almighty. And third, as Creator. And over the next hour and a bit, as we dive into this, these are the three things that we're going to look at. We're going to look at God as the Father, as the Almighty One, and as Creator. So the Creed begins by describing God as Father, much like the Apostle Peter does when he says this in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, when Jesus teaches us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, he uses the same kind of image for God, right? He instructs us, this then is how you should pray, our Father in heaven. You see, the scriptures often use various pictures to speak about God. God is so unlike us. He's so beyond the capacity of our mind to know what he is like fully and completely. So the scriptures use imagery, pictures, metaphors for us to wrap our small brains around what God is like, right? We see this throughout scripture. And some of the pictures we see in scripture are things like God the shepherd, right? Psalm 23. It's the most obvious example in my mind. Here, God is pictured as a shepherd, the one who carefully and lovingly leads his sheep. Right? He looks out for them, guides them through suffering to his salvation. And elsewhere, we see God pictured as a king. So in Psalm 23, he's pictured as a shepherd. But in a place like Isaiah, throughout Isaiah, God is pictured as a king. Think of the prophet Isaiah, who sees a vision of God in his glory. This is in Isaiah chapter 6. So the prophet sees a vision of God in his glory, and he says this, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. It's this picture of somebody who is so powerful and worth our praise that the prophet Isaiah feels unworthy to be in his presence. And so these pictures of a shepherd and a king all kind of come together to help us wrap our mind around who is God? What is he like? How should we approach him and respond to him? And the picture that we see in the Apostles' Creed is the picture of a father. But the image of a father can bring up all kinds of thoughts, right? It can bring up good thoughts, and it can bring up bad thoughts. for some people who maybe didn't have a good example of a father in their own life. But when the scriptures talk about God our Father, it does so in a remarkable way. And we need to wrap our mind around how the scriptures speak about God the Father, because sometimes our own dads or our picture of what a dad is like gets in the way of understanding what a father should be like, right? When the scriptures talk about God the Father, we see both Jesus and Paul using a particular word to speak about God the Father. It's this Aramaic word, Abba. And perhaps you've learned this or heard this before, but it's an Aramaic word meaning father. But it wasn't just any word for father. It was an endearing term. It wasn't just, oh, you know, my father works at, a factory somewhere. It was more a sense of my daddy loves me. It was an endearing term, a term that would be used for a father who tenderly loves his creation. I think of my daughter when I address her, or when, you know, I come home from work, she comes running to me and jumps in my arms. She's not coming running to a dad who is this, oh, that's my dad. He goes to work, he pays the bills. You know, he does the things that dads will do, right? She's coming running to me because this is my dad who I just don't know any other way but to hug. And I hope that lasts. I have a feeling it might not, as long as I'd like to. But Abba, that both Paul and Jesus use, it's an endearing term for God the Father. It's speaking of an innocent intimacy that's shared between father and child. We see it in Galatians 4, 6 and 7. Paul writes, "Because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God made you also an heir." The way Paul describes the relationship between us and the Father is one in which we have been adopted into his family through the Spirit here. And because of that, we call him Daddy. I even think of the parable of the prodigal son. And if you remember the second son, the older son, this is in Luke chapter 15 at the end. The older son was a bit bitter that he didn't get a party. And the son who threw away his inheritance got a party. But the one who stayed at the house, well, he was a bit bitter when he didn't get a party. He had always done everything right. And in this story, the father turns to this bitter son and says, everything I have is yours. You know, it's a sense in which the father is always lavishing good gifts and good things on his children. He's an Abba father. He's our daddy. He's the kind of father people would want to have. So I want us to bat this around at our tables. How is God like a father? And how is God not like a father that we would know? Okay? How is God like a father, our understanding of a father? And how is God not like our earthly understanding of a father? God is like a father to us because he cares. You know, quite simply, it's because he cares. Matthew 7, 9 to 11 says this. "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" God loves, he cares. He knows what's best. There's a lot of things in this particular passage. But we really get a sense of God's heart for his children. Another reason God is like a father to us is that he's the source of our existence. So it's not just that he treats us as children, but we are actually his progeny. We are his creation. There's no life apart from God. He's breathed life into us. He's the source of our existence. Another way that God is like a father is that we are made in his image. There's something of our creator God that is like a fingerprint that's been placed on us. Right? And this is very much like an earthly father, that we pick up our characteristics and our genetics from, or at least half of them, from our father, right? Our earthly fathers, that is. We are made in God's image. Genesis 1:26-27. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Men and female, or male and female, he created them. So we are made in God's image. And we're going to come back to this in just a moment. God is like a father also because he has authority, right? And he exercises it. God is no pushover. He calls the shots. It's God's way or the highway, right? And we don't often like to think of it that way, but that is the truth. But God's way is good. It's perfect. It's the one we were made for. And so, we could extend that into how he's not like our human fathers, I think. But we'll get there. God is like a father also because he knows our weaknesses. He knows our problems. He knows our shortcomings. He knows when we're in trouble. And so he has a good sense of some of those things that that we need his rescuing from. But we also know God is unlike our earthly fathers, right? And we covered some of these. God's not limited. God's not weak. God's not sinful. He's none of these things. Like our earthly fathers may be limited in their power or weak in their stamina or sinful in their soul. God's not like that. And we know that not all earthly fathers are kind and loving. But God is kind and loving. One of the great words that we hear of God in the Old Testament coming up over and over again is about his loving kindness. But not all earthly fathers are like this. Or they might be at times, and other times they're someone completely different. Some earthly fathers are distant or emotionally unavailable. Sometimes the father that we grow up with doesn't want to have anything to do with us or seems more interested in the Super Bowl, as today is a Super Bowl, than their kids, right? Or more interested in work or whatever that might be, more interested in a bottle. Another way that God is unlike our earthly fathers, God does not break his promises. When God says something, he always does it. And last, God never abandons his children. So with all this in mind, I think that there maybe are still some people who have a hard time picturing God as kind, as a kind and loving father. Right? Sometimes our experience with fathers is just runs so deep that we even have a hard time using that word, father, or thinking of God in this way. Well, I just want to take a moment to highlight two other scriptures that I think are important. They don't use the same language, but what they do use is language of a caring parent. And these are two passages that speak of God as a loving and compassionate mother. So Isaiah 49:15 says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will never forget you." And so this is God speaking to the nation of Israel, essentially. And in here we have this picture of God being even more caring than a mother who is nursing a child. And then in Isaiah 66, verse 13, it says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." And so, essentially, I want to just raise these two points just to kind of round out the picture, particularly for those who might have a hard time picturing God as Father. And we should remember that Jesus is a picture of what the Father is like as well. If we're having a hard time wrapping our head around what does a good Father look like, we look to Jesus. We look to what He did and what He said. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 says it like this: "The Son," meaning Jesus, "is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being." Jesus was the exact representation of God. So when we want to know what the Father looks like, we look to Jesus. Jesus Himself in John chapter 14, verse 7 says this. He reminds us, "If you really know Me, you will know My Father as well." The Father is seen in the person of Jesus. And so here's the point of the whole thing. The Creed reminds us that God is our perfect Father. He's the source of life, and we are made in His image. He's not a distant and cold, impersonal Father. He makes Himself available. He comes close. He's a God who wants to be known. He's revealed Himself to us. This Father isn't disinterested in you. Rather, He's your daddy. This is what the Creed is pointing us to. This is what the Scriptures speak of. And so when we say, "I believe in God," we're not talking about God as an abstract concept, right? Because often when we talk about God, we think that it's a floating head somewhere, or this like cosmic gas out there that's, you know, this all-powerful thing. No, we believe in a personal God, a Father. We believe in a God who knows us deeply and desires that we know Him all the same, right? At this point, I thought it would be good to discuss this question. How does the idea of God as Father affect the way you approach or think about God? So the Creed goes on to describe God the Father with this word. They describe God as the Father Almighty. In the Old Testament, we use the English word Almighty to translate a Hebrew word for a Hebrew name for God, and it's the name El Shaddai. And so, in the few places that this word or this name for God El Shaddai comes up, in English, we translate it as Almighty or Almighty God. This name for God, El Shaddai, was used to describe the idea that nothing is too difficult for God. It speaks of a God who is always in control, holding all things together. This is a God where nothing is out of His grasp to restore and to hold together. It speaks of a God who is full of power. One who, we could even say wrapped up in there, is one who knows all things, like Margaret pointed out from Isaiah earlier, but who's powerful to act, standing above all things. One example of this name for God, El Shaddai, is in Genesis 17, verses 1 and 2. This is where Abraham is promised children. So God speaks to Abraham, and it says, and his name was Abram at that time, "When Abram was 99 years old, no spring chicken, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Walk before Me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make My covenant between Me and you, then I will make My covenant between Me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers.'" Well, here in this scene, we see that Abraham is an old man in an era long before Viagra came on the scene, right? And God is promising him children, right? 99-year-old man, you're going to have children, and they're going to be as many as the stars. And God says, I will do this. And he names himself as El Shaddai, God Almighty. What seems truly impossible is not impossible for God. God's almighty nature, I think, is summed up very well in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. And this is what it says in Jeremiah 32, 17. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. I love that. You've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. This is a picture we get of El Shaddai, the God who holds all things together, who is powerful and mighty to act. And so when we say that God is almighty here in the Creed, we're speaking of two things in particular. First, we're reminded that things that seem impossible to us are perfectly possible for God. Like I said, we see this in the example of Abraham giving birth to children having children. He didn't give birth to them. But having children at an old age. And we see another example of this when the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary. So Mary is being told that she's going to have a child, right? And Gabriel appears to her. And the angel Gabriel's words to Mary, as she expressed astonishment that she would bear the Savior of the world, the angel Gabriel says, nothing is impossible with God. God is almighty. What seems impossible to you is not impossible to God. While things may seem out of control in our life, things are never out of God's control. Things are never beyond his reach to restore and to redeem. And so I want to encourage you with that. Perhaps, you know, you feel as though things in your life are so out of God's reach that there are things that you feel like you need God to step into time and space to bring peace and healing and restoration and goodness. These things are never out of God's control, although they may seem like they're spiraling out of control. So the second thing that we're reminded of when we talk about God Almighty, when we say, I believe in God Almighty, we're reminded that all power and authority in this world derive from God. That there is no government or ruler or establishment or leader of any kind that God hasn't allowed to be in their place of authority. Romans 13:1. Let everyone be subject to the government governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. When we speak of God's almighty character, we see that he is even in control of governments and powers. Now, this is a mystery to us, because when we look at lots of governments and powers, there are abuses and evil at the very core of what we see. But Scripture teaches us that these things are, even these things are not out of God's control. That God has allowed people to sit on thrones and occupy places of leadership that don't belong there. But even these broken situations are not beyond his power. They're not beyond him to restore and to renew. And so there's a mystery when we speak about God's almighty nature. And for us, there can sometimes be a pain or a tension. God, if you're powerful, Why don't you break into this place and save me from cancer? God, if you're powerful, then why would you let me suffer like this? You know, God, if you're mighty to save, why would a child have to die of starvation, right? These are difficult questions for us to answer, and I don't intend to answer them. Sorry. And so we run into a tension in our own heart. But what we do see about God Almighty is that despite the brokenness, God is on a program to restore and to renew, to save, and to set us up the way that things were meant to be. While they seem out of our control, they're never out of His. So in the Creed, we confess that we believe in God, the Father Almighty. We confess a loving Daddy who is powerful to do the impossible in our lives and in our world. And I think that this reality should have a direct implication in the way that we pray. See, our Father is approachable, but it's not just that He's an approachable Father, but He's one who is mighty to save and to heal and to provide. He's mighty to restore us in our life. And this is a God who lovingly gives to His children who ask from Him. And so this causes me to think, what are the things you want to ask your powerful Daddy for today? What are the challenges in your life that you need both a compassionate parent and a mighty God who can move mountains? God wants you to know Him and His power today. It's not that God always gives us what we want or what we ask for, because quite frankly, sometimes we ask for the wrong things. But we confess that we believe in God, the Father Almighty. Let's be people who pray as though He's both. So what I want to do right now is for you to take some time to take out a piece of paper and to write a prayer to the Father Almighty. Take some time to write out a prayer to the Father Almighty, asking for His parental care and kingly authority in your life. And once you've done that for about 5 or 10 minutes, why don't you gather around one another and share maybe a few things that you've written? And perhaps you can end your time by praying into these things for one another.